So a few weeks ago, I was stood up actually on the stage thing for our River Together meeting, and I brought really, I guess, the introduction, the foundation for this series that you've been going through to do with Heart Life that we're continuing with this morning. Since that time, as Ian mentioned, been with him in Zambia and in Kenya. In Zambia, actually, for one session of teaching was again using the Heart Life principles as the foundation of some stuff that I was covering with a group of people from the community who were going to be running some, or who were running some small loan schemes to enable people who are very poor to actually get a start in life. And those same principles worked just the same in Zambia as I've seen them work in Malawian villages and with Ugandan pastors and in India, because the things we're talking about in this series are universal truths about us. After Zambia, went on to Kenya, and just to be faithful to a request I've had, I posted this morning on Facebook that I'd be speaking here this morning and actually in Mara this afternoon, and our friends Paul and Jonah in Kenya said, please give our greetings to your church. So, greetings to your church, greetings to River Church from Paul and Jonah from the village of Mitimingi in Kenya. So, our subject this morning is why we do the things we do. By the way, hopefully at the end of last week or on your way in this morning, you got one of these cards. I'll be just referring to it a little bit later on. If you didn't get one, it would be a really good thing for you to take away with you this morning. There are some more by the door. Perhaps we could just have the film clip now before we get any further. Just to say, Andy, can I just big up for Andy? I sent her, or at least I attempted to send her. I attempted to send her this film clip during the week. Unfortunately, I made the schoolboy error of forgetting to actually embed it in the PowerPoint. Therefore, all she had was a frame. And she managed to find it on YouTube, and that's what we're doing it from. She did mention, however, that because I'd edited the original clip, there was an unfortunate joke in the middle of the clip. So, we'll be stopping before that point, I hope. If we don't, many apologies. Now, so just the setup for this. This is actually an episode, part of an episode of Friends. Who is familiar with the series Friends? Oh, you poor, benighted, spiritually poor people that don't. But there we go. Well, just to sort of, for the, I think you saw a clip from Friends last week as well. But Friends, it's about a group of friends. All you really need to know in the setup to this clip is that Monica is the brother of Ross, and I think that relationship will be mentioned. Sorry? What did I say? Sister, thank you. Of Ross, and that relationship is mentioned, and she has particular behavioral traits which also come out fairly strongly in this. And Monica and Ross's parents are going to be coming to visit. That's the other thing you need to know. Fantastic. So bear that in mind as we move through. If you've got a Bible, you might like to turn to Exodus and chapter 32. The story that we're going to just drop into very quickly is, I think, on one level, one of the more tragic parts of Scripture. On another level, one of the funniest bits of Scripture, if you can kind of see the slightly dark humor in it. The setup, thank you. The setup for this is that Moses is up on the mountain talking to the Lord, God. He's been up there rather longer than everyone thinks he should have been up there. So back down in base camp, Aaron was left in charge, and the people basically are getting impatient. They think that something must have happened to Moses. He's not coming back. And this is what happens. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 32. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said to them, don't be so stupid. Of course I'm not going to do that. That's not what brought us into this place. And no. Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Just remember that bit, where it came from. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. So meanwhile, Moses is up on the mountain. And we'll just pick it up, verse 15. Moses turned and went down from the mountain. And the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. And the tablets were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other. They were written. And verse 21, Moses gets down, isn't pleased with what he sees. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? Strung up by the thumbs, maybe? I don't know. No. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they're set on evil. And they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. They gave it to me. I cast it into the fire. And this calf came out. Tragic and comedy. The classic example of, well, it wasn't me, Gov. Last week, I think when Kerry was speaking and teaching, she would have read from Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, we have something which sounded very similar to that. You know, no, Adam says, no, it wasn't me, it was Eve. And Eve says, no, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. And as we know, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. And we get much the same pattern here. Aaron says, no, it wasn't me, it wasn't my fault. It was the people. And all right, yes, I collected the gold together, but then the fire did all the work. Although a few verses earlier, we read that he had a tool and fashioned the calf himself. Those of us who have ever had small children, in multiples of any number, more than one, and have been driving in a car, and it's all peaceful, you remember this, don't you? We were on holiday together when this happened. And suddenly World War III breaks out in the back. And calmly and politely you inquire of your children. Children, beloved ones, enlighten me. What is the problem? And usually, more times than not, the answer will come, well, he hit me. So you say, why did you hit her, Johnny? Well, because she hit me first, she called me names. It's always the situation, something outside of ourselves that gets blamed. And we can behave in many ways. This little cloud, word cloud card, just give some language to the different ways we can behave, either above the line in humility and love or below the line in pride and fear. And there's all sorts of words here to do with what that behavior can look like. And when we behave below the line, when we dip down into aggressive, unapproachable ego, arrogant or insecure, needy, people pleasing, all of those things that we can actually measure using the Heart Life Indicator. We always, nearly always, want to blame the situation. It was the situation I found myself in. Aaron does that. He says it was the situation, it was the people, it was the fire. It was nothing to do with me. Does anyone recognize that in themselves? Let me tell you a story that some of you will have heard me tell before, so forgive me, but it's still true. So the other week I was out running in the morning, and I was jogging away and jogging across the park, and a dog came running up to me, barking. And though the sun was shining at the time and I was enjoying the run, as the dog came towards me barking, I stopped. And I was frozen to the spot, actually, with fear. And I looked around first of all for the owners. Sorry, very dear friends who are dog owners, but the owners are usually quite a long way away when this happens. And I looked around for a stick to beat the dog off. And I stood there, transfixed with terror, and the dog carried on barking. And finally, the owner came and took the dog away. Why was I full of fear? Well, when I was a very small child, I went to the park with my mother. I ran off towards the swings, and as I was running towards the swings, a dog came bounding across, knocked me over, stood over me barking. And ever since that time, a barking dog has been associated with the fear that was stored in my heart on that occasion. A barking dog is bad news, it's fear. Or, the other day, I was out for a run, and the sun was shining, and I was running across the park. And as I was running across the park, suddenly a dog came bounding across the park towards me, and the dog was barking. And I stopped and went, hit boy. And the dog came running towards me and jumped up, and I grabbed its front paws, and we danced around a little bit while the dog barked. And I looked around for a stick, and I picked up a stick and threw the stick for the dog to fetch, and it brought the stick back to me. And the owner came along, and we had a nice conversation about what a wonderful dog they had, and I carried on my jogging. Why? Well, because when I was a small child, my parents bought a dog, and I grew up with that dog, and I used to wrestle with the dog in the garden, and the dog would bark, and I associated a barking dog with having fun and playing, and the dog just wanted to play, and what was stored in my heart associated with the barking dog was happiness and joy. Now, as those of you that know me well would have spotted right from the word go, both of those stories were, of course, fictional, because I don't go for runs. But the principle holds good. See, the truth is, what was the situation in those two stories? What was common? The dog, a barking dog. Situation was exactly the same. What was different was the behavior, and therefore there must be something in the middle, and there is. Situation plus, we'll use the word thinking, leads to our behavior, and that thinking can cause us either to go above or below the line. It can either be effective, ineffective. And it's to do with what is stored in our hearts. What is stored in our hearts? In the case of the first story, what was stored in my heart was fear. In the case of the second story, what was stored in my heart was joy. And certain situations can then trigger things in us. It can be there can be templates in our behavior. Who remembers the Microsoft little paperclip? Hands up here. You know, that annoying little thing that used to pop up when you were trying to write a letter and it would say, I see you're writing a letter. This is what you should do. And sometimes it would even try and override what you were trying to do. And the templates in our mind can be like that. They can override how we know we should be. But there's something triggering us. There is a truth there. You see, if that story had been true with the barking dog, it wouldn't have mattered if, in the first case, the owner had come up to me and said, it's all right, he's perfectly, he's just trying to be friendly. That wouldn't have mattered. That might have been true, but the truth for me would have been that this dog was dangerous. And we can find ourselves in situations like that all the time. Emotions, actually, it's a function of the brain. Psychologists, neuropsychologists will tell it's a function of the brain that we store emotions with experiences. And those emotions and even the physiological reaction like sweating, racing heart, frozen to the spot, all of those things get stored with the experience. And so we can be happily jogging across the park in the sunshine, 1 minute, cold, clammy, frozen with fear, the next. These things can shape the way we are. Now, as I hopefully made very clear in my talk at River Together a few weeks ago, I believe we're made in the image of God. And those of us who have decided to follow Jesus and have received the love of God in our hearts, Scripture tells us that we are a new creation, that the nature of how we are isn't in question. But it does seem that our behavior, patterns of behavior, sometimes takes time and healing to catch up. There is gold in our heart that God puts there, and we can live out of the gold that is in our heart. We can live out of the good, the character, the spirit, the humility and love. We can live above the line because God has put gold in our hearts. But life happens to us. There can be voids in our heart, a lack of love, self-worth, security. And when that happens, there's a saying, isn't there? Nature abhors a vacuum. It seems that in our hearts, it abhors a void, and we try and fill that lack, and we try and do it ourselves, and we puff ourselves up, and we say, I'm going to be, and pride can be the result. Or there can be wounds from criticism, not being good enough, not being accepted, and we look to heal the wound, but it's like sticking a sticking plaster over something that's too deep. Now, clip from Friends. The nature of humor, very often, the nature of comedy is we laugh at the things we recognize. We laugh at the things that are actually true from life experience, just amplified a bit. And as Monica was fluffing the cushions in a sort of fairly manic way, what was the cause of that? Well, do you remember what she said about, because they said, why are you behaving like this? Your brother Ross doesn't behave like this when your parents are coming. And she said, he's the prince. There was some kind of ceremony before I was born. And it can be like that in families, can't it? And even if that's not true, it can be our truth. Well, you don't seem to be working as hard as your brother did. I don't think you're ever going to be quite as good as your sister. These things are wounds. They're real. And they can drive us towards pride and fear in our behavior. So going back to Aaron, what was going on in Aaron's heart, I wonder? What caused him to behave in that way? He's left in charge. I wonder if it was fear of the people. Fear of what they would do. Fear of being seen not to be a decisive leader. Was it pride? Well, I can do as good a job as this as Moses. But we're not really told, are we? But something was going on in Aaron's heart that caused him to push aside everything that had been so important up to that point, go down a completely different route and behave in a way that was completely wrong and blame the situation. But something was going on in his heart that caused him not to live out of the gold, but to live out of the voids, the wounds, to live out of pride or fear. I'm the youngest of three children. My parents were amazing, really amazing Christian people, both gone to be with the Lord now. And my sister is 10 years older than me, and my brother is 8 years older than me. And so I was clearly the youngest, and the youngest by some way. So growing up, I don't really remember too much about my sister being at home. Obviously, she was for quite a while, but I remember a bit about that. I remember a lot about my brother. I remember him having friends around. I remember that I always wanted to be able to join in with the games they were playing. I can remember very vividly, even now, I can shut my eyes, I can picture the table, our lounge, and a game of Risk that my brother was playing with his friends. And I wanted, oh, how I wanted to be allowed to join in with that game. And I wasn't, because I was too small. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to prove myself. And then I went to school, and I'm not a huge guy now. My stomach is getting huger every now and again, but I'm not a huge guy now. And I was a very small, skinny child. And my name is Andy Reed. And kids are great at rhymes, aren't they? So Reed rhymes with weed, particularly if he's a weedy sort of. So I was weedy, reedy. And between the ages of 7 and 11, I can't actually remember, other than teachers calling me Andrew, I can't remember anyone else calling me Andrew. Everyone else called me weed. And again, you know, I wanted to be accepted. Now, I mean, kids get called names all the time. You know, I'm not trying to make a big case for what this awful childhood I had. I didn't. I had a fantastic childhood. But over the years, and particularly more recently, as I've been going on this heart life journey myself, you know, I recognize that one of the things that I would default to, one of my barking dogs, if you like, I would get thrown into behavior that was to do with approval seeking. I'd have those situations where if I could have, it's almost like in a cartoon, and in the cartoon, they sort of have another version of the person standing outside looking at what's going on and talking. You know those cartoons? Have you ever felt like that? Like you're looking at yourself, listening to yourself and thinking, why on earth are you behaving like that and talking like that? You aren't that person, and they think you're an idiot. But you can't stop yourself. Any recognition in the house at all for that? Yeah. And I realized with great revelation that actually it all came back to me wanting approval, wanting to be included, not wanting to be the little brother, not wanting to be weed, but actually be seen for who I was. So if you catch me doing that, just do point it out to me, won't you? Because I believe God's doing a work of healing in my heart on that, has done a lot of work of healing in my heart. And here's the good news. You see, we don't have to be a slave to the barking dogs in our life. We really don't. There is one who is able to bring real healing. There is one who is able to really fill the voids in our heart by his Spirit. It's an amazing thing, these heart life truths. I said that since I was last speaking here, I've done some teaching on it in Zambia with community volunteers. I've also, last week, was in a corporate situation in the UK, multinational, exactly the same materials. Last night, I had the privilege of being at a 60th birthday party. Many of you will know that Heart Life, Heart Styles, as an approach, as a suite of tools, invented by a couple called Stephen and Mara Clemmick, Australian friends of the church and of Lina and myself. We were privileged to be invited to his 60th birthday last night. And presented to him by his wife, Mara, was a book full of testimonies from people that she'd been gathering over the weeks, of people saying thank you for the release and freedom that they had found through Stephen's input and teaching. And it was some very high-powered people in all sorts of walks of life. Because the fact is, whatever face we present to the world, all of us have this stuff going on in our hearts. And all of us need to find freedom. And it's not to do with our identity in Christ, that's established. But it is to do with how effectively we can walk that out and represent him in this world. And this world needs us to be representing him well. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I exhort you, if I might be so bold, I exhort you that we have a responsibility to allow God into these places of our hearts, that he will come with love and bring healing and fill us afresh. If you have one of these cards, and as I say, please do take one of these. If you've not already done so during this last week, in this coming week, just spend a bit of time reading through some of those words. And I believe as you do that prayerfully, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and there will be words that will jump off the page to you. And there will be the barking dogs in your life. We don't need to spend hours searching around, rummaging around. It's not about navel gazing. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us about where he wants to bring healing and filling. Can we just pray before we finish? Could be as the Holy Spirit speaks to us even now. There are things that we know are stumbling blocks to us. And we don't need to go away from here with those stumbling blocks still in place. There are people who would love to pray with you. And go to the prayer place. Speak to someone else you know and trust. Often just recognizing it is a large part of the battle. Saying to the Lord, Lord, here it is. I see it for what it is. I see it for the lie that it is, even though it's been a truth to me. Would you come and deal with it? Would you come and heal me? Would you come and fill that gap? So, Father, I just pray by your Spirit you'd speak to us now and in this coming week, because we want to walk in your humility and love in this world, free from the things that would drag us down. In Jesus' name, amen.